This worship team every Sunday morning leading us. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Just gets you into the mood, right? Thank you. God is good. I am so glad. Happy New Year, everybody. Glad you're here today. I'm excited about being here with you. I've been praying that God will just bless you in a very special way this day. Just a couple of things before we delve into the message this morning. If you haven't noticed in your program, there is a bulletin insert about the grief support group called Grief Share. You know, the holidays are a beautiful, wonderful time, a time of reflection, a time of renewal. At the same time, for a great many people, especially in the past year or previous years, or even having breakfast the Christmas Eve morning and talk with my mom, whose mother passed away many, many years ago on Thanksgiving, many, many years ago, still those emotions are there and those hurts are still there. And so it's a tough time during the holiday season due to a lot of loss in people's lives. Grief Share, if you don't know anything about it, has been an amazing ministry throughout the country and I believe around the world, correct, Bruce, and other places, where people have had the opportunity to connect with other people going through the same things, similar things that they've gone through or are going through. And in those relationships, in that connection, people have found help and support. And we are launching that particular group February the 2nd. You'll have information in your bulletin about those dates and your insert. Also in the foyer, there are brochures as well. I encourage you to take one of these, and if there's somebody in your life, a neighbor, friend, relative, who's gone through a difficult time or been going through a difficult time due to a loss, and that could be a loss of a loved one or a loss of, you know, even people who just recently lost, a gentleman lost a pet that he's had for a number of years. People are going through stuff, and it's real. It's just real. And so there's all kinds of things that people are struggling with right now. So if you know of somebody, then I encourage you to be a blessing to them and forward this information on to them, taking place here every Sunday morning at 8:30 to 10 o'clock here at the church beginning February 2nd. So please, if you are interested, there's ways to register. Bruce Wonderly, if you don't know him, Bruce, could you raise your hand just so people can look around and see your hand and know who you are? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for this beautiful day, and we thank you for this new year, this year of jubilee, this year of freedom, this year of renewal, this year of redemption. And as we enter it, God, we just pray for your leading, your guidance, and your blessing. And Father, that in areas of our life that we desire to grow and places we need to grow, that you would help us to do so, Father. And so we thank you for this place, this church, this ministry, where as we go through these things, as we move forward through these things, that we will find love and support from one another in it all. Thank you, Father, for our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. I'm going to start by reading out of Psalm 135, verse 1 through 5, 19 and 21. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possessions. I know that the Lord is good, and that our God is greater than all gods. All you Israelites, praise the Lord. House of Aaron, praise the Lord. House of Levi, praise the Lord. You who fear, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord from Zion, to him who dwells in the house of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wasn't raised to say hallelujah. I was raised that these hallelujahs and the praise the Lords and that outspoken religion, that kind of thing was for the other guys down the street. You know, in other words, was it that kind of a church that did those kind of things? Years ago, when I was in my early 20s, and I was in seminary, and I had a little apartment there, and as I was there in my little apartment, I would have my own favorite religious channel. You might have that. You might not want to share that with other people, but I had my own little religious channel I turned it to, and sure enough, I turned it there, and this particular show had a choir, and I'll never forget looking at this choir, and everybody in the choir, as they were singing, I mean, they were just, you know, just hands were going up. They were just cheering and singing. It was moving. It was happening. They looked like they were having so much fun. And yet, I knew I was right. And what was wrong with them? And then I would turn her to another channel, and sure enough, there was this one lady, man. She could just get down, you know? She just, and she was just going, getting into it, and looking at her and thinking, wait a second, but I'm right. Dead right. It's kind of like all those other things that other people have, because they have them, we shouldn't have them. You know, like robes. And we don't have robes. Those other people, they have robes. I kind of think robes would be a nice thing. Just wear my pajamas over, throw the robe on, you never know it. It'd be so comfortable. Or like crucifixes or beads. You know, someone else has got a patent on those, so we don't use those. Or white zipper Bibles. You know, it's kind of like, I remember years ago, my sister got some money, and she wanted to go get her own Bible. And we were out shopping, and she went up to the Bible and says, oh, I like this white one with the zipper on it. And I remember, you don't want that one, because somebody, other people use Bibles with zippers on them. I remember thinking that. I believe that somewhere, some time ago, someone got the idea that if these type of people did these types of things, and we don't do that because we're not those type of people, those people do this and do that. And when it comes to the praise the Lord and the hallelujah type of Christianity, that's only for that type of church. That's what I thought. And yet over time, as I began to grow in my with the Lord and my relationship with Jesus, I began to realize, I don't care if you wear a robe or you don't wear a robe. I don't care if you meditate with beads or not with beads, or whatever the color of your Bible. But I will not give up to anyone the bursting, praise the Lord, hallelujah excitement that I feel every day because of what Jesus did for me. That somehow in our churches, that we got this idea that we've either lost or we've just kind of done away with. And yet I'm moved by the fact that Jesus gave his purpose for coming to earth in John chapter 10, verse 10. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. People ask the question, why did Jesus come? Well, Jesus came because he died on the cross and for the sins of the world. Well, that's good, and that sings well, but Jesus gave his own reason. He says, I came so that they might have life and have it to the full. And that word full means abundant. It means overflowing. It means blessings galore. Jesus says, I came so they might have life to the full. It's kind of like my father, some of you know, some of you don't know, but most of you probably don't know. My father, very successful man, always believed in getting the most out of your dollar. You understand what I mean? To get the most out of the dollar. To squeeze that dollar bill until you get every drop out of it, okay? And I was only 8 years old, but I can remember a time when my sisters and I were out, and we were at McDonald's. And then the days when, you know, years ago, McDonald's was just burgers, fries, and Coke. They didn't have yogurt galore and snickerdoodle McFlurries and stuff like that. That would have been awesome, but they didn't. It was just cheeseburger, fries, and Coke. And so we got to the counter, and we said, cheeseburger, fries, and Coke. And sure enough, in a crowded McDonald's, they came over and put the tray down, and we all started heading back to our table, except for my father, who looked down, and you know how it gets busy at times? I mean, they're just throwing food in bags, right? And sure enough, he looks down and looks at the plate, and all of a sudden, there's just like this fries, just a few fries in the bags. And my dad says, excuse me. And the little girl behind the counter said, yes? And he said, are these fry bags what you call full? Now, I was 8 years old, but I knew this was a major social faux pas. You know, you don't ask at McDonald's, are these fry bags full? And yet my father thought the little girl was deaf, and so he spoke up louder and said, are these fry bags what you call full? And just then, everybody in their counter started looking at their fry bags. And the girl is like, and so the manager, who was a real smart guy, was over here, and he came over and said, excuse me, sir, is there a problem? And my dad says, oh, no problem. I just wanted to know if this is what you call full. And the manager looked at the fries, and he looked at my dad and said, no, sir, they are not. And he took, God bless him, he took the tray back, and he took those fries out, and he just started stuffing those little bags full of French fries to where the paper started tearing, you know what I mean? They didn't have boxes and stuff. They just started tearing. We brought the tray over, and there was fries like everywhere all over this tray. He said, sir, this is full. And my dad said, yep, they are. And then everybody else started getting in line going, fill it up. Fill them up right here. I believe that Jesus looks down at us and sees us in our worship at times, in our walk with the Lord, and he asks the question, where are your fries? I gave you a full bag. I gave you a full life where it's just bursting out. It's just overflowing. I gave you a life that you would have so much excitement and joy that people would begin to notice. You ever been around people like that who are like, praise the Lord, everything? You know, praise the Lord, the sun's shining out. Praise the Lord, the grass is green. Praise the Lord. The kind of person you just want to reach out and slap them? Okay, we get it. And Jesus says, but you have half a bag. We sing songs in church. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sun. Or we're satisfied with a little silver and a little gold. But when we get to that city, and we have had this doctrine that has been built in us, taught to us, that you know what? Somehow we're going to have to rough it here, campers. But one day when we get up there, it's going to be so much better. And Jesus said, I didn't die so you'd be saying down here, hey, we're just getting through. I died so that you might have a full life, an abundant life that's just bursting out, that's noticed by others. I mean, I could imagine what it was like in the heavenlies when Jesus returned to them and the angels all gathered around and said, oh, Lord, I can't believe you did that for them. Oh, Lord, why'd you do it? And Jesus said to the angels, so that they might have life. And have it to the full. And I can imagine the angels gathering around the windows of heaven and looking down on people in their worship and in their churches and going, what? You died so they would look like that? You died so they'd be walking around, look like they've been weaned on a pickle and baptized in vinegar? You died so that they'd just be going slowing along and yet not excited. They get more excited about a football team. Yeah, we got a touchdown. Yeah. More so than the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, enough about the problem. let's look about what we need to do. That, you know, Jesus says the thief has come and stolen. And for some of us, that joy in our life, that abundant feeling has been stolen. It's been stolen. It hasn't just been not there. It was there because of what Jesus did on the cross, but it's been stolen for several different reasons. We're just going to talk about a few of them. And in your notes, they're there. The first one's called Nazaritis. Nazaritis is a spiritual comatose state that involves a sleepy faith and a boredom with church. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Follow along as I read. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? And then all of a sudden, notice, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home, except in his own town, among his relatives and in his home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And Jesus went from there, teaching from village to village. But notice, Jesus was teaching, and it says here that they were amazed. They were so impressed. The wisdom that was coming out of this man. But all of a sudden, somebody said, wait a second. And notice what it says here, by the way. Because in those days, you were always, a man was always referred to his father of some kind. I'm Brian, son of Charles, that kind of a thing. You know, bar so-and-so meant son of so-and-so. But yet, they said, isn't this Mary's son? Not Joseph's. You see, Jesus had a reputation in that town and stuff like that of being illegitimate, and it haunted him even to this day. Even when he comes to this town and he amazes them and does miracles right there for them, but yet they became familiar with who he was. So much he wasn't impressive anymore. And the result, he couldn't do miracles. Notice that, folks. Just notice that in that read. He could not do miracles. Jesus, God's son, God in the flesh, could not do miracles in this town. You think because he is creator, almighty God, hey, you know what? Zap, boom, you're healed. But it says he couldn't because they become so familiar with him and so bored with him. And if anyone should have been there saying, hallelujah, our guy Jesus is back, it should have been the Nazarenes, but they knew him too well. Let me ask you a question. How about you? When's the last time Jesus amazed you? When's the last time Jesus knocked your socks off? When's the last time Jesus just warmed you up, that he overwhelmed you with his presence and his love and his care, and you just felt you were in his presence? Symptoms of Nazaritis? Sleeping during church and sometimes during the message. Or the feeling that amazing grace is just another hymn. Or what I call the principle. You know, it's like when we're getting around Easter time and we're having a message on the resurrection. You come in, you look at the bulletin and it talks about, the resurrection, that. We're doing that. Kind of like that's just the way it is. We're on a calendar, on a plan. Oh, it's Christmas time. Oh, yeah, that. So what's the cure for Nazaritis? You may be thinking, Brian, I've got it. I've got Nazaritis. You may have one, you may have all a combination of all of these. But if you're here today saying, yep, I understand. My walk with Jesus has gotten boring. My walk with Jesus has just gotten stale. What's the cure? Three things, if you're taking notes. Stop, look, and listen. If you're on a routine where you're just kind of going through, not even thinking about it, stop your routine. Change up your routine. If you open doors this way, start opening doors this way. If you walk through this door, start walking through the back door. So if you have things going on in your life where you're just, you know, doing your five-minute devotions and you're just getting through it so you can do it, take an hour to do some devotions. Just stop the routine that you're on and change the routine. Second thing to do is look around and experience God's greatness and wonder, because it's everywhere. I spent a lot of my life living not just up the road here in Newtown, and it was almost every month we were running to the shore for something, heading out to the ocean. And I love the ocean. I love the ocean. But it got to a place I'll never forget when I was in college down in Bel Air, Maryland. Some of us headed out to the ocean, and this guy that was with us, a good friend who was from Ohio and stuff like that, where they don't have an ocean, came with us, and we went up and parked our car, and we started walking up this one particular dune with a walk and everything. He was ahead of us. He couldn't wait to get out of the car. The ocean. And he started walking up, and he got to the top, and he went, "Wow! Oh, wow! Wow! Oh!" And I thought, nude bathers, who's out there? And stuff like that. What's he? And we went up there, and I got right up to him on the little boardwalk there, and he's looking out, and he's just going, I mean, just crazy. You know, people are looking and stuff. We're like, okay, settle down. And yet he was so amazed. And it dawned on me, I had been going to the ocean weekend after weekend and such, and then all of a sudden I began to lose the feeling and the sense and appreciation for its power and its beauty, and that my God created it, that it just became just routine. And finally, seeing it through his eyes, I began to realize, oh, you're right. Isn't it amazing? Isn't our God amazing? So stop, look, and listen. Listen for God's voice. Slow down so that God can speak to you and bless you and bless your heart. The second dread disease this morning is we're going to talk about called Marthaplexy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, I'm not going to read through all that. That has to do with the story of Martha and Mary. And if you don't know about that story, you have a scene where you have a dinner here, and in Jesus' honor, and you have the one sister, Martha, who is in the kitchen preparing everything. She's preparing the food. She's getting the appetizers ready, the dinner ready. She's got the drink glasses. She's got the cups. She's got the flatware. She's got her best china. She's got everything all organized for a great dinner. Everything is just going hunky-dory. And then you got the sister, Mary, who's doing absolutely nothing but sitting at the feet of the guest, Jesus, and just talking and have a conversation. And that bothers Martha. And Martha comes in and she's just like, "Hi, I'm doing all this stuff." And so finally she just pulls Jesus aside and says, "Jesus, I've got a problem. I want to just run it by you and get your thoughts on it. You know, I've got this, you know, a friend who has a sister. Let's call her Mary, for example. And you know what? My sister's doing all this work, and she's prepared all this stuff, and she's doing all this, and she's preparing all this, and her sister's just sitting down doing absolutely nothing to help, and she's just having a conversation." And Jesus said to her, "Martha," and she's still not listening. So much he had to say it again, because it's written twice. "Martha, your sister is doing what is best. She is just taking time to sit with me and be with her Lord." You know, thanks to our cell phones, you know, it's not a matter of I don't watch the news on television. All of a sudden, little blurbs come through all the time about what's taking place in our world. And it's concerning, isn't it? And I've got people talking about it everywhere, from the restaurants to the coffee shops to the bookstores. You know what? I'm so worried. I'm so worried about our world. What's going to happen? Everybody's so worried about what's going to happen. And you know what? It is concerning. What's going on? I'm worried about our country and what's happening in our country and how it's dividing and polarizing. I'm worried about the brokenness in our society and the problems. And when I begin to think about it, I start stressing out a little bit, worried about it, what to do, how to plan, what to do here, what do we got to do in our ministry here, how can we reach out to this community here? And all of a sudden, once in a while, I can hear my Lord screaming down, saying, Brian. And I still am not listening because I've got all this stuff to fix. Brian. Your family, your ministry is not getting what Brian needs. Brian needs to have some time with his Lord. And just trust God to take care of the rest. Some of us just need to be at the feet of Jesus and turn off the worrying and the fretting and the trying to fix everything and get all the plates spinning and not let a plate drop and do this and that. We just need to take some time and be at his feet. You know, if you're struggling with Marthaplexy, if you're some Marthas here, here's your cure. Resign, relax, and realize you need to resign. You need to resign from being the king or queen of the world. You just got to. You just got to write it down and say, I resign, and turn it into somebody. And realize that it's his rightful place to be king in your life. And then relax. We talked about that last week, if you were here, a little bit about the Sabbath. Can you imagine the Sabbath in our homes? How tough that would be. What are you doing? I'm baking cookies. Don't bake cookies. Well, I got to go out in the lawn and mow. Don't mow. Well, I've got to clean. No, don't clean. Yeah, but I've got to get to church. I've got things to do. No, don't do that. Don't. Then what are we going to do all day on the Sabbath? I believe that we have this doism thing in our life that's been so embedded and so taught in our life and in our culture that we bought into this idea that somehow we go to heaven because we do. And folks, I've got news for you. We don't go to heaven because we do. We go to heaven because he did. We don't go to heaven because we do anything and stuff like that. And we need to throw this doism stuff out the window and realize that as Jesus is going to take care of the world, as Jesus is going to take care of our country, as Jesus is going to take care of our lives and our families and provide once and for all. Because he's Lord and he's God and he loves us. Last disease we're going to talk about today is simonosis. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 and 39. Verse 44 and 47. You can look that up later. I just want to run through what this talks about. Here's another dinner party given in Jesus' honor, put on by Simon the Pharisee. So this is a pretty important dinner. This is one of the top Pharisees in the Jewish religion and in this particular community. And he decides to have a special dinner, invite this prophet, this teacher, Jesus, this very popular person, into this particular dinner. And understand he was inviting other guests as well. This dinner had to be perfect. Everything had to be right. The food had to be right. The company had to be right. The atmosphere, everything had to be right. Take it to our day and age. Imagine them all in tuxes, you know, the black tie dinners. You know, everybody had their black tie on, and they're all in their tuxes. Everything was proper. Everything was perfect. The appetizers, the hors d'oeuvres were all set out. The drinks were all put there. Everybody's gathering around. How are you doing? Oh, it's good to see you. Yes, how are you doing? Everything was just perfect. And then in the middle of this dinner comes this woman. And she breaks into this dinner, and she comes over to Jesus, and she begins to cry and cry with tears, and began to kiss his feet and wash his feet with her tears right in the middle of this dinner. And Simon says to himself, does this guy understand who this woman is? If he were a prophet, he'd know. And see, Jesus already knew his heart. He already knew that. I mean, think about it. Think about all of a sudden we're in our church service and we got the bulletin put together. We got the worship team has the order of service. Everything is on. We got the times down. We got the steps in. Who does what at what time? Everything's going perfect. The message is ready to go. People's casserole or the crock pots are cooking at a certain time. We're going to be out at a certain time. And in the middle of this perfect service down the aisle comes a woman from the streets. And she just starts crying and screaming and comes all the way up to this communion table and just starts weeping. Oh, Lord, 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 I'm so sorry. And she starts, her tears and her mascara is getting all over. And then some people in the back are going, oh, my goodness, those doilies are shot. We're never going to get those white again. Somebody do something. Somebody send somebody up there. What are we going to do with this woman here? And Jesus knows Simon's heart and says, Simon, can I tell you a little story? And right in the middle of this crowd, Simon says, sure. And Jesus says, there was this guy, this master, he had two servants, and one servant owed a lot of money to the master. And the other owed just a little. And both were forgiven of their debts. Simon, who loved the master more? Now understand, this was major pressure time for Simon, because he was all about being right. He was all about being correct. He was always about appearance and popularity. And so the pressure was on, let's see, the guy who owned more, the guy who owned less, the guy who owned more. And Jesus said, you're right. And Simon says, yes, I got it. And Jesus says, Simon, do you see this woman? Now, isn't that a silly question, really, when you think about it? I mean, she comes right into the dinner right here, and she's weeping all over the place, crying and screaming right off the streets. And he says, did you notice her? Since she has come in here, she has kissed my hand. You didn't even shake my hand. Since she's come in here, she's been washing my feet. You didn't even greet me at the door. Simon, don't you understand that those who have been forgiven much learn to love much? And this woman understands how much she's been forgiven. It's not that you haven't been forgiven much, Simon. It's you haven't realized how much you've been forgiven of. Several weeks ago, I preached a sermon where I talked about the rich man and Lazarus in the flames. Folks, the rich man being in the flames and Lazarus being with Abraham in paradise. You see, folks, for us to truly hallelujah, for us to really praise the Lord, and for us to really thank you, God, where it's bursting out, we have to see ourselves holding the hands of the rich man and realize the reason that we're not there is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because he saved you and he saved me. I got a couple minutes, so I'm going to try this. Guys, your wife has planned a special dinner this day because her mother and father, your in-laws, are coming over for dinner. And you're out someplace at Lowe's trying to get a few things, and all of a sudden you have forgotten about this dinner the whole day. And while you're there at Lowe's with your two or three carts full of stuff, it dawns on you, oh my goodness, my wife's having my in-laws over and for dinner, and I've got to be there in just an hour. Oh, my goodness. But you do the practical thing. You take your carts through since they're full, and you get things checked out. Now you're even more late. You get into the car, and all of a sudden, you notice as you're going out into the parking lot, it's pouring down rain, and your wife was going from the beauty salon to home to prepare the meal. And you had the car. And so you call up your son, your home, and your son answers the phone, and you go, is mom there? Yeah, dad, she's there, here. Yeah. Yeah, she walked all the way from the beauty salon home in the rain. Yeah, she kind of looks like she slept the dog, and smells a little bit, but she's here. And you're like, okay, you know what? I'm on my way home. You're just praying. There's no cop on the way. You're flying down the highway as fast as you can. You're looking for all the shortcuts. You're zigzagging in and out, and you realize they're on their way coming over. And you're practicing your speech all the way there, you know. And even as you're turning down the cul-de-sac towards your house. You see your house at the end of the cul-de-sac, and it's speaking to you. Go away. Go away. And you pull up and you get into the driveway, and just then, at the corner of your eye, you see your in-laws pulling down the cul-de-sac. And gentlemen, you go into your house and you're thinking there, and all of a sudden your wife is there at the doorway with a soup spoon in one hand and a knife in the other hand. And you had your speech, but there's nothing inside of you that could bring it back up. And all you could do is just cower in humility and say, honey, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she says to you, don't worry about it. I know you forgot. And you go, oh my goodness, what happened to my wife? It's got to be drugs or alcohol or something. What's going on? And she says to you, just get over here and give me a kiss, and let's forget about it. Gentlemen, let me ask you a question. What kind of kiss are you going to offer your... What kind of kiss? Are you just going to go up to her and go, okay, there you go? No, you're not. You're going to go up to her and say, oh, honey, I love you, honey, I love you. How does that resemble your worship with God? Because the word for worship means to kiss towards. And yet we stand before a Savior and a Lord who has a sword in one hand and looks at you and me and says, let's just call you forgiven. And what are you going to do with Jesus? Oh, here you go, Lord. No, we're not. We're going to say, I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me a hallelujah. 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
Felt a little uncomfortable for some of you, didn't it? John writes, I write these things so that you might know that you are saved. And if that ain't worth giving a hallelujah, folks, I don't know what is. Let's pray. Father, as we enter this new year, I pray that, Father, that we just realize just how much we've been forgiven of and celebrate this blessing, this truth in our lives, that our sins are washed away because of the blood of Jesus, that you love us so very much, that we are forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, for this blessing. We thank you for Jesus who makes it all possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.